Just want to apologize for the hiccup. There's some technical issues that we are unable to fix at this moment. I guess right now we've got to bear with it. So there's no live stream today. And you can see that the sound is coming out from a different line. So the IT team is trying to sort up. I hope that they sort it. But welcome this morning. And I try to put up my smile. You know, when you can't get the live stream on, you can't try to get all this thing done in the last 5 minutes and in the last half an hour. So we need to thank Jerusha for coming up last minute to give you a live Bible reading. Michael have done that for us on pre-recording. Unfortunately, we can't play it from there. I can't accept that getting you guys to irritate your ears and listening to a small voice like this. So later on, if they can fix it, we'll have the music back. If not, then we'll just say bye. All right, and today we will carry on with John, coming back on John to there are certain parts. The whole chapter of chapter 6 is a very important chapter when we look at it. And the main theme for it is Jesus is the bread of life. Well, what does that mean? All right, so we're going to have a look at that today, starting from there. Now, but before we go on, I just want to ask you the first question of today. Have you ever had a friend who you find that he or she always stick to you like honey, like bees to honey, and try to get something from you? Whenever you have something for them, they just stick to you. But the moment they can't get what they want, or they couldn't find anything that they need from you, they disappear. This reminds me of, when I think of this, it's not just friends or colleagues, but someone close to you, especially a father and children relationship. You find that when the child needs something from the father or parents, they will come hang on to you, hold on to your hand and stick to you and want something from you. But the moment they got what they want, and you got nothing else that they want at the moment, you find that they just do their own thing and disappear. Sometimes we are just like this to God. We behave the same to God, like this. And we're going to see in this story today, the very first part the second part of John, is we are talking, going into the style, the body of the context, of the whole chapter 6. And it shows, give us a glimpse of those people, these kind of people who actually take God for granted. Actually, they come not because of who God is, not because of what God has done for them. They come for something else. Now, the whole structure of this chapter 6 basically give us with the introduction that we've been through for the last time, we see that Jesus came for it mentioned that the Passover festivals was near. And then straight away, the story go into Jesus feed the 5,000, then Jesus walk on waters. That is the introduction of the whole chapters. And why did the gospel writer John did that introduction like this? Because he wants us to see what it means to be, when Jesus say, declare that I am the bread of life. What does that mean? This introduction shows us the Passover. Passover means it reminds people, especially the Israelites, the Jews, they remind them of how their ancestor was saved, and reminds them about the last plague while they were in Egypt. For those of you who read the Bible, it's a reminder, isn't it? For those of you who have not read this story before, it was a story that God has called on 10 plagues on to Egypt and want the Pharaoh to release the Egyptian, the Israelites. And he refused to. And the very last plague was to kill, if you refuse to let my people go, then I will kill every single firstborn child in Egypt. So on that very, very night, God sent the angel of death. And he tell people, say, whoever household was painted with the blood of the lamb, the angel will pass over. That's how they get the name Passover. So it resembles a God protection. Remember of God, how God is redeeming them, is trying to deliver them out of slavery. Then he goes on to introduction, go on with the Passover in mind. Then he goes on to feeding the 5,000. Remind the Israelite that God is providing you in the wilderness. Remember, providing you, your ancestor, in the wilderness with the food from heaven, which is they call manna. Then he said, then while Jesus was crossing, walking on water, that echo that God had delivered them from their enemy by opening up the Red Sea for them to escape into safety. Then, now today, it comes to the part. It gives the introduction of telling that God, who is God? God is your protector, God is your redeemer, and God is your provider. Bear that in mind, and let's look at Jesus. So that's the introduction of that. And then later on, we got to the spoil, and this is we're going to focus on this for quite a while. And then on Jesus is going to say that the very first I am of the in the whole Bible of what Jesus has declared himself, the I am the bread of life. The very first I am appears here and show who Jesus is. And the whole process reveal to us who is the true disciple and who is not. And in conclusion, we know all the theme. The theme of John is to believe. All right? Believe in Jesus alone, nothing else. And this is the call for true disciple. So the whole focus of chapter 6 is focus on, are you the true disciple? Who are you? And as I said today, we're going to start asking questions. And the only questions that comes out from this part of the scripture today, as Jerusha read for us, is why do you follow Jesus? Maybe you want to talk to the person, ask them this question. Why do you want to follow Jesus? Why do you follow Jesus? Come on, ask the person next to you. Why? All right? I'm not asking you to talk. I'm asking you to ask. All right? And then this is a question for you to ask yourself. Why do I follow Jesus? Now, in the scripture today, this morning, it mentioned clearly that these people came and in search for Jesus. They were searching for Jesus. People search for Jesus for many reasons. All right? But why they search for Jesus? And I can think of a few common reasons that people can seek, come to Jesus and seek him. All right? For material things. They think that Jesus can give them something they want. They think that they can come by coming to Jesus, they find some comfort, you know, experiencing some emotional experience. I'm feeling the pain right now. Somebody tell me that Jesus can heal me, I come. Some people come for position, for power, for recognition. That's why they serve. Some people come because of they think, coming to church, I can advertise my business here. I can make some money here. Is this a reason? People come for many reasons like this. But the moment that when they found that Jesus can't give them what they want, they're most likely to ditch it. To ditch everything. They ditch the church, they ditch God, they ditch Jesus. This, Christianity is not for me. You know? Have you ever heard of a term like people come and tell you, say, especially when I came to Australia, very often I hear people who left the church for a long time. And they all come with the same common story. It's the story is that, I grew up in church, and one day I found that I don't need it anymore. Church is just not for me anymore. And they left. Until they met Jimmy. No. Until I happened to meet these young people, old people, then we start to share story. Start to try to get it clear. Why do you come to church? Why do you follow Jesus? You follow Jesus for the wrong reason, you left Jesus for the wrong reason. They seek God for what? They seek God for what He can do. They didn't seek God for who He is, what He has done. These people don't really want God. They only want what God can give them. What can you give me? Sometimes we hear so many sermons that's going around and tell you the three-step things that you need to do to be a Christian. Yeah? You heard that before? It sounds very practical. But is that what you follow, Jesus? The three-step thing? Point one, I need to come to church. Point two, I need to serve. Point three, I need to give my tithe. Does that qualify you to be a Christian? To be a call, to be a disciple. These people come only, they are not interested in the giver of gifts. They're only interested in the gift. What gift can I get? So in today's dialogue between Jesus and some of the people that he fed the day before, Jesus exposed the reality, exposed the real intention of following him. Why do you come and follow me? You follow me not because of who I am. You follow me. You come to me because you know that your belly can be filled. I can give you something that you want. They came because of the food. They searched him so that they do not need to worry about the next day. They do not need to worry about the next meal. It's pretty hard, isn't it? Because that's what most people come to church for. That's what most people come to follow Jesus for. In my experience, I myself was one of them. I came to God because I feel depressed. All right? I was so depressed because someone whom I love is going to die. And that triggers my thought. Oh, I can't grab hold of anything. No one can help me now. And somebody tell me, say, only God can help you. So I start praying to the Lord. That was my initial state. But the more when I come to church, I start asking myself, why do I want to follow a God that I can't see? That everybody keep on telling me that it's real and it's living. I ask myself a question. I hope that this is a question you ask yourself, you take it away yourself. Nobody can help you except God. No preaching can help you. No preacher can help you. No brother, sister can help you. Except you. It's between you and God. So these people came. In other words, they came for personal gain. They came for personal fulfillment for whatever reason you have in mind. They came to satisfy their temporary, fleshy desire. And Jesus point out to them, say, don't come for this. You know? Don't come for this. Have I got the PowerPoint right? He said, why don't come for this? Why can't I come for this? This is not a bad thing. I'm not saying that this is awful thing, but Jesus said, look, don't come for this thing. Why? Because if you come, if you follow me because of all these things, what if some nasty situation arises? What if you have, like you get into a hardship, that you are depressed over certain things? What if the devil attack you? Are you still going to stick to why you follow? And Jesus tell him, say, no, don't come for this. You come for this, it's going to spoil. One day, if something happens, it's going to turn sour, it's going to get gathered, and there's nothing on this. Don't put your faith in all this thing. All the gifts that I've given you, don't put the faith here. I heal you today, don't put a faith on the healing. You put a faith on your healer. That's what Jesus is trying to tell. And Jesus can say, so why should we come? Come to Jesus so that for who he is and what he has done. come to Jesus to have a genuine and obedient relationship with God. That's what Jesus said. Do not work for something that is spoiled, but for the food that endures to eternal life. Something that will last forever. What is that thing that will last forever? Relationship. Isn't it? Your relationship can last. Just like I'll give you the illustration. When I bring my children out, when my children want you to buy something, they will hold my hand so tight. You know, this is where I want to go, and then try to stir me there. But the moment they got their stuff, they just went away. You see? But if we don't have that relationship, they will not come running back. We come to Jesus, not for all the what Jesus can do for you, but what Jesus has done for you. We come to Jesus for who He is, but not for what He wants to give you, what you want from Him. So this is, and Jesus is referring to Himself when He said about this. You know, when He said, which the Son of Man will give you. It's a promise. All right, He was referring to Himself as a Messiah. He was really referring to Himself as, I'm the real deal. I'm the real food that you need. I'm the real thing, whatever thing that you can think of, whatever reason that you follow Jesus for. You know, I'm the real thing. I am the food that you're looking for. I am the money that you're looking for. I am the career that you're looking for. I am the relationship you're looking for. I am the power that you're looking for. You see that? That's what Jesus is trying to do. And these trigger questions. A question, a typical question that comes from most people who put their faith on salvation by works. And they say, what must I do? What must I do? You know? What must we do? It's a question that very commonly asked. I've heard that all the time. The moment every time I hear that, what can I do? How can I become a Christian? How can I do this? How can I do that? We focus so much faith on this salvation by works, and sometimes we forgot. You know, sometimes it just worries me when I see brother and sister keep on asking that kind of question. What can I do? You can't do anything. People like this always put their faith in their own hands. And Jesus cuts straight to the point and tell them, say, what do you need to do? You can't do nothing. You just believe. That's the whole theme of John. Believe. Believe the one who God sent. Who is that? This means that you don't take things into your own hand. You don't think of what you can do to receive this salvation, what you need to do in order to stay in pace, to be that obedient Christian. You don't do that. You put your hand, you put your faith in Jesus alone. You put your hand in God alone. You put your faith in God and trust Him and believe in Jesus and nothing else. I don't know what that means to you, but that means a lot to me. Because I don't trust my wife. I don't trust my kids. I don't trust any of you. All I need to trust is to trust Jesus. Because I trust Jesus, I put my faith in Him, and I trust you. So no matter what you do to me, I will still continue to trust you because I trust Jesus. You know, in my experience, I've seen so many times, you know, some people ask me, say, you're vulnerable to betray. Yes, all the time. Every time I step in the church, I got betrayed. But what do? Because I got the call. Because I have faith in God. The vengeance is God. The life is God. I don't put things into my hand. I put things into His hand. I'm still a man of little faith. But I'm still trying to grow. I still want to put my faith in God, no matter what happened. Sometimes I can see my wife has got me really worried. Why? Can't you get another job? I said, I suppose I can. I'm still young. If I want to start a career, I still want to do something, I can do that. But I strongly feel God called me into this. No matter what happened, I will stick to it because I trust Him. Even if even if the next time, in the next person that I pastor to, the next person that I disciple is going to betray me again, I will still continue to do it. Because that's my calling. Because I want to put my faith in Jesus, not in anybody else. So that's why I learn to trust people. I know that the person who's going to betray me has a high possibility of betrayal. I still trust him because that's how I learn to trust God. Without seeing him, without touching him, without knowing that he's still here or not. Are you there? Are you there? You know, you keep on reading the Bible. Sometimes I can't speak in tongue. I can't perform miracles. There's no sign for me to see. Oh, when you talk about sign, these people just come in. They say that what? It caught these people by surprise when Jesus said that. And they challenged Jesus and said, look, what sign will you give that we may see? You see that? And the PowerPoint is still delaying. All right. You see that? They challenged Jesus and said, they hear what? Oh, you say just to believe in you, and then what can you give us? What can you see? You see this? This is, they're asking, what power can you show us? You know? And how can you prove to us what you say, who you are? You know, what can you do for us? You see, it's all about me. Our ancestor has received bread from heaven. And, you know, and can you do that for us too? You know? That's exactly the same thing. Their mindset is firmly on what they want. It's firmly on personal fulfillment. All these points, at this point, they even misunderstood what the Bible says. They use the word scripture as it is written. It means scripture that he gave them. And this he here was Moses they were referring to, not God. And Jesus corrected them. And Jesus corrected them and said, now for the second time, Jesus said, very truly I tell you, I told you this before. There's many times that happen very truly. You got to pay very especially attention to this word. Because what's coming after it is going to be the truth and it's going to be very important. And for the first time happens in 26, verse 26, when Jesus said, hey, very truly I tell you, come on, buddy. To tell you the truth, honestly, you didn't come for me. You come for your belly. You come for what you want. And now for the second time. He said, very truly I tell you, this bread is not from Moses. It is from God. Only God can give you this bread from heaven, bread of eternal. And why is that so? Because God is the only God who can give life, take life, and create life. Nobody else. Moses can't do that. Moses was just a deliverer. He was just a messenger. He was just a person who delivered the bread to you. But he was not the one who created the bread for you. So Jesus is saying that the truth is God is the one. And you know what they say? They say, okay, if you're not giving us the power, why do they want the power? Why do you think they want power? They want that sign so that they can perform that miracle themselves. All right, I can eat anytime, 24 hours a day, if I feel hungry, manna. Yeah? They want that thing. And since you're not giving us, okay, then give us what you mentioned here. And he says, use a word here, a particular word I want you to look at. Always. What does that mean? Any businessman here? Endless supply. Unlimited supply. Since you're not giving me power, then give me unlimited supply because I got no supplier, right? I can't supply myself. I can't create myself. I can't do it myself. So I would rather stash it up and put it in the store. Remember when COVID-19 just started? It came all over the news. People were hoarding all over the place, isn't it? Especially face masks. And there was even came out from a documentary like Current Affair, and they were saying that showing of one family, one lady, actually stashed up in the store. And when she opened that door, it's just, whoo! Toilet papers, Can you remember that we can't get toilet paper at all? I still got a photo because I got one of the photo that I got. Somebody tell me, I went to Coles and buy stuff, grocery one night. And then somebody came through the door as I was going out. And it was like a drug deal. And that person just, I don't know why, I don't know him. He come and whispered to me, hey, there's toilet paper in the station. I said, my reaction was, sure, man. So I walked to the car park, I said, why do we whisper? Hoarding. People were hoarding back then. These people were hoarding. They want unlimited supply. They want to stash somewhere. You can't give it to me. I want to stash it away. Tell me. Give it to me. Right? They didn't actually come and say, I want Jesus to come here. You see, when you reflect, when you look at the scripture, they first started on the very first, verse 27. It said, very, very truly, you come because of the food. And there they said, Rabbi, where have you been? And right now you say, sir, that's a degrade, no? That shows how opposition. So church, this is the only question that I'm presenting to you. You see, these people, they are demanding Jesus for what they want, when they want, and how they want it. They only come to Jesus for the bread. What are you coming for? Are you following Jesus today? And nothing else? Why do you follow? Are you following because He's your Lord and your Savior, because of what He has done for you, took your sin on behalf of you on the cross? Or you have some other reasons to come for today? Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you so much for showing us the eternal bread of God, showing us that your Son is the eternal bread of God that is from you, and you are the only one who can give life, and you are the only one who can save us. And Father, as we reflect on today's scripture, and Lord, I ask that your Spirit will convict us of who you are and what you've done for us, not what you can do for us. And Lord, sometimes we are so selfish that we only serve ourselves and we just want the benefit for ourselves rather than the benefit for your people and benefit for the people who have not heard your gospel. Father, as we come today and reflect and we come and repent before you, for we are sinners, we rebel against you. And Father, your Spirit, I ask that your Spirit will empower us to stay obedient, to come for a genuine relationship with you. This is what you want us. This is why you give us the bread. And Father, today we come. I ask that you help us not to become one of those people who actually come for the benefits of self-fulfillment. And Father, let us trust you. Help us to trust you. Help us to have faith in you alone. We don't know how that process is going to be and how long that journey is going to be, but we trust that you will lead us every single step. For every single step that we step foot on is going to be a blessing to our community and to ourselves. And Father, we just thank you for your words and everything that you've done for us as you empower us to go out for the rest of the week. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So do we have the sound back or not?
I think so.
Okay, never mind. Before we finish, so there's no song. So we're going to finish off just here. And I just want to invite Sarah and Leon to come up here because it's quite hard to get them. And then we got something that we want to give it to them before they leave. And I would like to pray for them. As you know that they're leaving, right? I'm not very happy with their leaving. And I'm definitely not very happy because when they left, they're going to leave with something else. You know, it's growing in the tummy, you know, and it's so unfair. You can leave, but, you know, then you have to ask the permission whether he or she wants to leave here, stay here, or there. You know, 2% go and 3% disappear. But we show love them, and Kay went out to got them something. 365-day devotion. Hopefully that this will help them, help Leon and Sarah to get ready for the baby to come and to read to him or her or read to themselves. And as a thank you, we appreciate of what you have done and for the church and your appreciate of fellowship, appreciate your love for the young adults in the group. Last night we had a meeting and everybody was so sad, you know, to hear that they're going and then see that, should we pray for them to go or not? You know, I said, nah, we'll continue to pray, but leave the will to God and see what God. So is there anything you want to say to the church?
Yeah, it's been wonderful being here, everyone. You're all family. Thank you for this gift. And may God bless the church, you know. And we'll see you guys all again from time to time. We'll pop in and we'll be here one or two more weeks. Or, I don't know, something like that. Yeah.
Adelaide is not far away. You know, you can always drive up to go and visit them if you want to. Yeah, I've never been there. Yeah, maybe now I got another spot to go, another reason to go. Right? Let us pray for you, right? Yes.
I also just want to say thank you too for people particularly reaching out to me when I was new to Melbourne, and I just felt really cared for by the community here, and there was just, yeah, different relationships that we really treasure, and when we come back to visit, which we most certainly will, we've got lots of reasons to come back. We look forward to seeing you guys ad hoc when we're in Melbourne for the weekend, so we're not going to be strangers.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Let's pray for them, all right? Father, once again, we thank you for giving us a family, giving us a brothers and sisters that we've never met. From a stranger, we come for one common goal, that is that we believe in you as our Lord and our Savior. And Father, we just thank you because of you that we become a family. And we come and fellowship and work and serve together and love one another. And it's through this process that you help us to grow. And Father, as today, we want to see that Sarah and Leon is making a move to Adelaide. And Father, we just hope that this will be a sending mission for them, sending them from our church and then to Adelaide. I don't know what you have in front of them and what sort of mission work and what sort of purpose that you have. But like, Lord, I ask that your spirit will convict them to stay faithful to you, no matter what happened on the road and no matter what happened in Adelaide. And Lord, I just ask that for your protection, for provision, and your redemption on the whole family and for the new coming baby. And bless them, bless their trip. And throughout the whole trip, they will experience your presence and your existence and know that who you really are. And Lord, I just thank you so much for their contribution to the church. And you continue to bless them as they go on to Adelaide and bless the churches there and bless their community. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. All right, and now I invite Liz to come out.